I mean, you know, you need the power of the Holy Ghost to make it on a daily basis. So say hallelujah. Voice to praise him. Say one voice, we worship you. Say, not only do I love Jesus, but I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. Why don't you find yourself a prayer partner real quickly? Somebody you don't usually pray with, somebody you can love, and let them know, say, I'm here to love you this morning. There's one right beside you, Billy.
Hey. God. How many of y'all are here for the first time? Just raise your hand. We just welcome you. We thank you for coming today. You made a good choice. God is in the house. He's here to meet needs and to encourage us, to give us strength, to give us hope for the future, to set our feet going on the right path. Amen. So you made a good choice to come here this morning. We just welcome you. And I just want to look at something real quick in Judges, in Joshua. So turn to Joshua. We're going to have a little mini lesson. Joshua chapter 6. Now Joshua was leading the children of Israel into the promised land. Moses had led them up right to the edge of it. And God said, Joshua, you're going to take them on in. And so they took that first city. Anybody remember that first city? I'll give you a hint. They marched around the walls. Remember Jericho? They took Jericho. And God said, this is how you're going to take Jericho. And they were obedient to take Jericho. But he said this one thing. And look in chapter 6 and verse 24. They burned the city with fire. And the Lord said, only the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron they put into the house, into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And so God said, this is the first city you're taking, but you can't take the treasure and you can't take the silver and the gold and the bronze and all the good stuff. That stuff has to go into the treasury of the Lord. And so let's look what happened in chapter 7 and verse 1. But the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully in regard to the things under the ban. For Achan took some of the things under the ban. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was burned against him. See, God says, the first part is mine. He doesn't say it's all mine. He says, give me the first part. And Achan didn't do that. And you know what? Look what Achan said. Look down in verse 13 of chapter 7. Or this is what the Lord says. There are things under the ban in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you have removed the things from under the ban that are in your midst. And see, we can compare that to tithing. The first part is the Lord's. We're not going to be able to stand against the enemies of our life, of our finances, until we give that first part to the Lord. And then look down at verse 20. This is what Achan said. Achan answered Joshua and said, truly I've sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle of Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and bars of gold, 50 shekels in weight, I coveted them and took them. And see, we see this big paycheck we get. We see this money we have, and we covet it. Oh, it looks good. It looks real good to us. But the Lord said the first part, the first 10% is mine. And so they ended up having to stone Achan. Now, we're not going to get stoned in these days. Thank God we're under mercy. But Achan was stoned. Now, let's look in chapter 8 and verse 2. Let's follow the story. See, they went up to take Ai, the next city, and they were defeated because they hadn't given what was God's for the first city. And so they were defeated. They got right. And here's what happened. God said, you shall do to Ai as you did to Jericho and to its king, and you shall take only its spoil and the cattle as plunder for yourselves. See, God let them have the second city. He said, but the first city is mine. Now turn over to chapter 11. Get a little Bible lesson here. Verse 14. All the spoil of these cities and the cattle of the sons of Israel took as their plunder, and they struck every man with the edge of the sword. Joshua ended up taking 31 cities and all their kings. And he could have the plunder from 31 cities. That's a lot of stuff. The gold from 31 cities. The silver from 31 cities. 31 kings they strung up. But God said, the first one goes into the treasury of the house of the Lord. You can have all the other stuff, but if you put me first, all the other stuff will be yours. He'll increase you. He'll bless you. He'll give you your enemies. You'll be able to stand up against economic downfalls. You'll be able to stand up when the devil comes against your finances because you put God first. You see how that works? See, tithing is a principle throughout the Bible. Even the Old Testament, the New Testament, it is a principle that we are to honor the Lord with our first fruits of all of our increase. And then he said, our vats will overflow with wine. Our bounty will be plentiful. Amen. And so if you're giving an offering this morning or giving your tithes and you need an envelope, just raise your hand. We thank you, Father God. I'm just going to pray as you're writing out your offerings and your tithes. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your covenant with us, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you've given unto us and we're able to give you the first fruits of our increase, Lord. We're able to give you that first 10%, Father, knowing that we can trust you, Father, that you can go further with that 90% than we could ever go with the 100%. Lord, I thank you that as we tithe and we give offerings, that you surround us with favor like a shield, that it causes men to look favorably upon us. It causes business to open up to us. It causes increase to come to us. It cuts off the enemy at every pass, Father God. Lord, I thank you that we are a blessed people because we set ourselves to bless you first and to give what we have to you, Father God. And Lord, I thank you that as this covenant states, all that we have is yours, God, and all that you have is ours. So, Father, we thank you we're not limited to our own resources. We're not limited to a paycheck. We're not limited to a bank account. But, Father, our limits are your limits, and you don't have any limits. Because with man, things are impossible. But, God, with you, all things are possible. So we thank you that the limits are taken off our finances today. The impossible situations are being dispersed and disintegrated before us, Father. And you're showing us, you're giving us wisdom and insight into the finances that you have for us. And Father, I thank you that we are blessed to be a blessing. Amen, in Jesus' name. And so you can bring your offerings now. Thank you, Father.
Good morning. I just wanted to make a couple announcements about the children's ministry. Yesterday, we went to see the movie Noah, the VeggieTales movie, and we were just so blessed by it, and the kids learned such a wonderful lesson about compassion and mercy. And I just want to take an opportunity for those of you that have children or grandchildren, encourage you to bring them on Sunday. It's so important that they get in here and they hear the Word of God. We've got some exciting things going on back there in the church. Just bring them in and just let us pour our love out to them and let God just pour out His love to them. We have another outing that'll be coming up the 26th of this month from 2 to 4 o'clock. It's going to be our fall party. It's going to be at my house. It's going to be a great time. I've got more calendars in the back if you have lost or misplaced or you just need to see what's going on. And the last thing I want to share with you, and this just really blessed me this morning, some mail that came from the Willie George Ministries. This summer, we took the kids up to Tulsa to Dry Gulch, his spirit-filled camp up there. And old and young alike were blessed. God's presence was just so heavy. And they sent me a report from the summer. And the ages were from 8 to 18 throughout the different camp sessions. This summer, they had 956 kids that came to know the Lord, 3,226 infillings of the Holy Spirit, 2,550 rededications, 1,403 healings, and 1,505 children felt called into the ministry. And I just think that is so awesome what God is doing in the lives of our children. So I just encourage you to get them here and get them involved and let the Lord just do the rest.
Becky, you want to push your glass?
This morning we began a foundations class where we can get well grounded and find out what we believe and why we believe it. And this morning we had a great time. Micah was here with me. We went through some scriptures and got some basics down on how Jesus filled the gap for us. I think we had a very fruitful morning. We're meeting at 9:30 every Sunday morning. We will take a break around Thanksgiving and some time at Christmas. It's about 10 weeks long, and I just encourage anybody that feels like they need to get some foundational things straight in their lives to come on in, join us. We'll all learn some things together.
Hallelujah is the highest.
Holy hands. Hallelujah.
that you love him as the kids are going. Amen.
He's so good, isn't he? How many are just happy to worship God together? Isn't it good? Just play that really good for us, Jesse. Come on, y'all. Let's just play that. Come on. You know, one way you can worship God is just to wave your hand. Hallelujah. All together, you know. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody. Hallelujah. Everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody. Hallelujah. You want to sing that with us? Come on in. Hallelujah. 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 Sing it for us. Hallelujah. 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 It's real easy to wave your hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Ooh. Y'all going to get us in trouble this morning. Amen. Oh, my. Open your Bibles to John chapter 11. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Look at that pretty baby. Whose baby is that? Is that your baby? Oh, he's little. Man, what's his name? Tyler? Kyler, okay. It's still Texas. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe John chapter 11. Everybody say, what's up, G? He was going to school. His name's G. And G was going to school. And all the kids were going to G. You know, he thought they changed his name, you know. Or it was some type of, because everybody was going, what's up, G? And he said, my name's Sup G. Amen. Is it hot in here to anybody but me? Or do y'all feel just fine?
Feel just fine.
I could pull up this shirt, you know. I've only been working out for a week. I ain't got no muscles yet, but Amen. Oh, by the way, look, we got a deal for the church. If you do any role of ministry in the church, they're given, I think, at least 50% off enrollment at 24-hour fitness, and it's only $35 a month. So it's usually like $399 or something like that, or three something. But if you want to work out at 24-hour fitness, Bally's is really struggling. You know, I saw a sign out there earlier. You know, Bally's doesn't work. Stand up, Crystal, and check. No, I'm joking. Look, another one leaves the church. And another one's gone. Huh? Okay. But if you want to work out there, I mean, man, they have everything. They've got the pool, the wet sauna, hot sauna, you know, and we still can go to the pool. Amen. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. You're not going to backslide if you go into the water. Hallelujah. Other than being baptized. All right. So, I mean, you could do that. But if you want to register, what we have to do is we just send your name in. And if you want to try it out, we can even give you free passes so you can try it out. And it's 24 hours. That means after church you can go. It means you can go if you're not happy. Like, I don't look too good, you know. And I remember when I lived in Burbank, you know, everybody works out in Burbank. They go out to the pool. We think, we're going to go swimming. All of us from the East Coast. We first moved to Burbank. We ran down to the pool. We got there at the pool. It's like, oh, my God. And we walked back to our room. So I go to 24, for the next several months,
I'll be going to 24-hour fitness around 3 o'clock in the morning. Amen. Until I get it together. Then I'll be going at 9. Y'all know Sandra used to be, until she broke her hip, or what did she do to your hip? You pulled your hip out? She was a big-time tennis player. Did y'all know that? But she hurt her hip, so now we can all defeat her. All right. And John, everybody say, how to raise the dead. Today, I mean, we're getting into Halloween. And Halloween, we're going to have a big celebration at the cemetery, and we're going to put everybody in a tombstone, and you're not going to leave that tombstone, that cemetery, until everybody gets somebody up. Amen? You're just going to stay there as long as it takes till you get that person up. So today's class is how to raise the dead. Now, do you believe it's possible to raise the dead?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Yes, it's still happening today. Everybody say, you can say, Jesus told us to raise the dead. Well, you know, we can't get up a couple dead people. We can at least start with dreams. We can start with visions. We can start with businesses. We can start with marriages. We can start with friendships. We can start with church. We can start with our relationship with God. We can start with the presence of God on our life. Somebody say, something dead this morning is going to get raised. Except for your flesh. Amen. Somebody say, praise God for that. Nothing's ever over with God. We have to learn that, you know, even after things die, it's still not over, because as we're believers, we can get it back up again. Even if the thing is, man, I plopped that one out, it's completely dead. Who cares? God is the God that raises dead things. So I'll still hold on to dead things. Amen? Amen, because I have a God. Amen? That raises dead things. You know what? His word never dies. So hold on to it. Y'all can shut me up. Since Rex is here, I would say 12:15, but I'm going to say 12:30. Amen? Rex can be the keeper of the time. Is that all right? How many of y'all love Brother Rex? Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, of the town of Mary and of her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord, with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother which was sick. Therefore his sisters went, sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, for the Son of God might be glorified, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. We don't believe in sickness, do we? All sickness comes from where? Devil. God is a good God, and he only does good and wondrous and great things. Amen. But sometimes we go through some stuff. Sometimes we talk. I mean, we had church on. I mean, it was a small group. Didn't we have church on Friday night? Lord, it was good on Friday night. But sometimes God permits us to go through some night seasons. Sometimes Satan goes to the throne of God and say, hey, let me work somebody over just for a little bit. You know, sometimes you go to court and you don't even know it. The devil's up there to the throne. Sandra looks real, she's shouting real loud this morning. Let me work her over a bit. Everybody say Satan. Trying of our faith. He's also the trier of the brethren. And here Lazarus was dealt with some situation. How many got some situations going on in your life? Doesn't look like it came straight from heaven. God promised you all these great things. All of a sudden you got, I mean, you might have started something out with good intentions. And all of a sudden it's just a pain. Amen. It was a burning in your heart. Amen. 5 years later, it's just what? Ooh, boy, it's hurting someplace else, isn't it? even people that God loves get sick. Say, Lord, he that you love is sick. Even people that God loves and cares about, even people that are walking strong in faith, amen. Listen, God promises us that we'll never get sick. He didn't say that we'll never get sick. He promised that he would always be our healer. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. So many times we get out there and say, well, God must not love me or I wouldn't be going through this test. God doesn't love me or I wouldn't be in debt. If God loved me, my marriage wouldn't be messed up. Even people, amen, that God loves, they go through. But the difference is those that God loves get through. Amen. So if you're going through today, and you, so see, we have to teach this, because some people think, you know, they look at you and say, hey, man, look at that shirt. He must be one of those that God really loves. But I'm going to church just like everybody else. Where's my Lincoln? Sister Rita just got all that property up there. I can scream just as loud as she can. Therefore, he must not love me. Even though God loves you, you go through. Somebody say amen. But I tell you what, that thing that you're going through, God's going to turn it around for your good. Somebody say hallelujah. The thing that the devil means to do you in with, God's going to turn around and, oh, glory. I used to tell the devil, say, you go on, try your mess. As soon as I get out of this, I'm going to make it real bad for you. I'm going to tell everybody. I'm going to tell everybody what you did and what God did. You can take that thing that you've been tried with and take a stick out of the devil's hand and beat him with it. Amen? Turn that test into a testimony. Amen? You're going to win. And you need to make it, and Jesus made a show of the devil publicly. He brought him to naught in front of everybody. Maybe that everybody went to school, and y'all don't do this down here, but on the East, they'd have a fight, you know? And boy, you'd think somebody was handing out free ice cream at the end of school. Everybody was out on the field, amen? Fight, fight, fight! Because everybody wanted to see, even your best friends, you know, they wouldn't be there with you, but they'd be there seeing a fight. I tell you what, all kind of people go out when you go through. You ain't seen people in years, but let you go through one test. Everybody right there, just looking right on. Where you been? You missed my birthday, but you there for this fight, amen. So say, for the glory of God. Now Jesus, Martha loved, and her sister and Lazarus. He loved them, didn't he? They were going through. He loved them. And when he heard, therefore, that he was sick, well, maybe God didn't hear me. I'm still sick. I'm still going through. Maybe I prayed last week. This checking account's still in red. Shout a little bit louder. Hey, Jesus! This husband's still acting up. These dishes are still in the sink. That phone in that business ain't ringing yet. These pounds are still here. Jesus, maybe you didn't hear me. Anybody thought like that before? Well, he doesn't love me. Well, he loves me, but he's hard of hearing. He loves you. And he hears you. And yet, listen. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he just moved right away, didn't he? He got up right away. Jesus to the rest. Oh, hold on. That one I love is sick. Let me get over there right away. So say, he abode. You read that? He abode 2 days still in the place where he was. Stayed there. Sometimes you got to learn to wait. God's got a higher plan. So we say, thank the Lord. Some people aren't willing to wait. God doesn't love me. I'm going to give up. goes with instantaneous healing. Don't you know there are different ways that God heals people and changes things? There are certain times you can get these powerful anointings in there, man, they blow in your face. You know, and you're instantaneously made all right. Praise God. Other times you just have just been funked by somebody's bad breath and nothing happens. You got to wait some things through. Somebody say amen. Oh, it's quiet in here this morning. I'm trying to do good. If y'all act like you're happy, I'll make it real short. Thank you. Now, and here, bone there, there, still days, and it was in the same place. After that, somebody say, after what? Him waiting. Didn't say what he did. That's what Christ said. Then after that, after what? Nothing. Him abiding there. He loved, he heard, he waited. After that, he saith to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. And his disciples saith unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee against that. And that's a nice little story. You could preach that. You know, he's going to go there no matter what. There are, and in verse 9 it says, and Jesus answered, there are not 12 hours in the day. Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. Look at somebody say, stumbling. Gloria might get happy about this. You can tune in. I'll preach to you and you'll make me feel really good. Listen to this, Gloria. Stumbling in the night seasons. If anybody walks in the day, he stumbleth not. But in night seasons, there's a possibility that we can stumble. There are a lot of people that, you know, they make it just as long as the sun is shining and everything's going just great. They be in church. Woo, hallelujah. But there's some on the opposite side. When things are going great, you never see them. Amen. You see them walk to the door. Uh-oh. Hallelujah. Something gone wrong. Whose house burned down? Amen. The night season. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. These things saith he after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I might awake him out of his sleep. Anybody say, arise, shine, for your light comes. Jesus is the light of the world, isn't he? You can have light even in a nighttime season of bad days. Night represents just darkness, represents just evil, bad. But you know what? You don't have to stumble when you're being tested. Job was tested. We talked about that Friday night. He went through some things, and his wife said, look, man, why don't you just curse God and get it over with and die? Tempted in his night season. Don't give up under pressure. Don't ever give up. If you have light, the light of God, the revelation of God within you, in the beginning was the Word. Somebody say, the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Somebody say, the Word. So that Word represents light. So in the night season, when nothing else can be seen, nothing else goes on the inside of you, if you got a Word, you'll have light. What did God say to you? Somebody say, even in the night. Say it, even in the night, I have light. If you've got the Word of God burning on the inside of your heart, guess what? That's going to light up your night, and you won't stumble. But if you allow the Word of God to die within you, or the promise of God, the vision of God, amen, the revelation of God, the bar of God, the voice of God. How many know there's a voice of God? You know, it's nothing better than, you know, having, Lord, as long as you speak, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I don't want to lose the, as long as you've got the voice of God on the inside and you're able to discern that voice in a night season, you'll have light and you won't stumble. I'm here to tell you, you will go through some dark days. And you'll get through those dark days. And when those dark days come, you say, what do I need in a dark day? I don't have to look in these times. I can't look in the flesh.
I got to walk this thing through by faith. I got to walk it through by internal light on the inside of me so I won't stumble. There are a lot of people, you know, they walk real fine. As soon as the nighttime comes, they scattered somewhere lost in the darkness because they missed what God said. But if you got light on the inside of you, glory to God, you'll never stumble and you'll never fall. First of all, if you can sense the light of God on the inside of you, the light of God will appear in the natural. Somebody say hallelujah. He got a revelation. Hey, look, God is with me. Even in this dark season, I've got light on the inside. There's light with on the inside of me. Glory to God. You know what? You just hold on to that. Weeping may endure for a night, but I tell you what, your joy will show up in the morning. Someone say, it is coming. I like that. It says, but joy cometh. Weeping may. It whips, you know, one way or the other. But joy definitely comes in the morning. I like what Brother Hagin said when he's talking about waiting on the promise of God. He said, listen, if you're willing to wait forever, it definitely won't be long. So say hallelujah. So we've got to learn. Now listen, I like this other scripture too. This is a good thing, good reason to be around nations. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thy rod, amen. Somebody say hallelujah. And his staff, amen, whoever's working in this church, they'll comfort you in those seasons, amen? Now everybody can't claim that, amen? Somebody should shout, you can claim that, amen? These things he said after that he had said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleeping, but I go that I might awake him out of his sleep. So say, thank you, Jesus. God wants to come to wake you out of your sleep. There's some seasons we go through, it feels like you're sleeping. Amen. You see a good thing and you put your hands on it before you grab on it, it's gone. Some of you feel like you're in a nightmare. Amen. How many are tired of dreaming? You want some reality. You ready for something to last a little bit? You know, I tried this, fell through. You know, in a dream, I mean, you can have a mansion in a dream. You wake up in the morning, that sucker gone. I was a kid, and every time we had a field trip in school, I would dream the field trip through before we went and then cry in the morning because I'd blown my trip. Amen. I'd already been there. God's coming to wake you out of your sleep. Dreams are so important, people. Amen. What's going to be the difference? He's going to show up. You understand what I say when I say God's coming to wake you out of your sleep? Some of you are in a nightmare. Amen. Some of you don't really understand anything that's going on. Amen. You know, you don't even take life seriously. In dreams, you know, you can do whatever you want to. You feel that way. Be careful doing that. Amen. Awesome things. This doesn't have to do with the message, but dreams are very powerful, people. Dreams are so powerful. We think, you know, I don't know who this is for, but that dream life is so important. They are definitely spiritual, and a lot of times those dreams are real. Listen, Jesus was preserved through dreams. If Joseph wasn't a dreamer or didn't honor dreams, look, it was in dreams that God told him where to go and what to do. So say, in a dream. Careful of covenant dreams and covenants and what you do and how you respond in your dreams and what you commit to in your dream. Dreams are powerful. But getting back on it, amen, getting back to where we are, listen, in dreams, God wants to wake you out of your sleep. Some of you feel like, I've been in a coma for 8 years. There was a boy that just got out of a coma. How long was he in a coma? Anybody watching the news? Guy was in a coma for years, I think since 1992 or something like that, in a coma, and then all of a sudden wakes up out of this coma. Anybody say awakening? I'm closing out at this point because there ain't no way we're going to finish it. We have to finish it tonight. But I just want to pass that on to you this morning. God wants to awake you out of your sleep. So here he comes. I go that I might awake him out of his sleep. Then it said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, we shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of the things of taking of rest and sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly. I like when Jesus gets real. You know, you've met people that always want to spiritualize stuff and don't want to tell the truth. And you got to get real plain. He is resting, and Jesus spoke to him plainly and said, the man is dead. They would say, whoop-de-doo. There are some things that are plainly dead, but whoop-de-doo. Jesus is coming into a situation and say, hey, it's over, washed up, done away with. It'll never be better. Amen. They are dead. People think, well, while there's still hope, God will move on it. Earlier. Come right now. If you don't come right now, somebody say pressure. They said, if you don't move today, we're going to lose everything. You got to move right now. Oh, we're going to be in trouble. You don't do it right now. 24 hours to move or something's going to happen. He missed his time frame. We'd have missed the deadline. You have no deadlines in the body of Christ. Time is always on your side. How many of you remember that? There's some deadlines you feel that you've missed. Praise the Lord. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in this place. Amen. There are no deadlines. Time is always on your side. Don't ever let the world, the devil, or anybody else, even Christian people, pressure you with time, because time is always on your side. If God didn't come by a certain time, Lazarus would have died, and he definitely died, but whoop-de-doo, he was the resurrection and the life. I don't have time to go to school. I don't have time to get my business together. I'm too old. If I start now, I'll never get going. My life's wild. I'll never find anybody. Look at this. What can I do now? Time is always on your side. There's nothing dead within you that God can't raise up again. And he will definitely raise it up again if you let it. Jesus said plainly, Lazarus is dead. And he said, you know what? I'm glad about it. Isn't that a trick? What kind of friend is that? I guess they thought they were going to get a real revelation after that. Jesus was going to tell them, because he was this and he was that, you just didn't know, but I have discernment. God is always glad. There's always a reason to rejoice. Because God saw that it's not that he was so happy that Lazarus was going through and just dropped dead. But Lazarus was going to learn a lesson. A lot of other people are going to learn a lesson. Amen. And you're going to learn a lesson. If Lazarus didn't die, you wouldn't learn this lesson today. That time is on your side. That you never lose. And even if it does, you have to realize that you have the ability to get back up again. You have the ability to renew yourself and restore yourself again. Thank God that Lazarus died and that Jesus died so that we would learn about resurrection. Amen. It's one thing somebody tell you, hey, this thing will work. Get in. You know, little crash dummies. They get in. It'll work for you. Go on in and try it. No, I want to see somebody go through it. Amen. Then once you see it, you know. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye might believe. Somebody say hallelujah. That your faith might be increased. I'm glad I went through difficult circumstances. Amen. He's glad about it. You know what? Because you're going to come through it in the end, but you're going to come through it a better person, a stronger person with greater faith. You're going to be rewarded for what you went through. Devil's going to lose because you didn't lose confidence. You didn't lose faith. You didn't grow weary. Amen. You've realized there was a light on the inside of you that held you together. When Job got through on the other end of that situation, God restored him. You lost, pay up. There's a big game called Survival on TV, and I'm closing. Amen. I am. This is the second time. There is a game on TV, and they say Survivor. Somebody say Survivor. Survivor. I am a survivor. What's that song they keep saying? The TLC or whatever group. I'm survive, survive. Gloria, I know you know it. Amen. Survive, survive. You know, and they just see, they put you in all kinds of situations just to see if you can survive through it, I guess. I didn't see it. I haven't seen it. So if it's a bad one, don't get down on me. I don't know. Amen. I think that's the premise of it. I saw the commercial. Amen. Because who knows what you're endorsing now. You get in trouble. You just say this TV show, Pastor, that show's about dating and leaving this. I don't know. Amen. But I guess the premise of it is, amen, somebody trying to play innocent. Amen. Is that, you know, you just have to make it through it. On the other side, you're going to be all right. You're going to come out better, come out stronger with greater faith, without confidence. You're going to come out without a fear of death. If you die and get raised again, you'll never fear death again. Amen? If you get to rock bottom and got back up again, you'll never be afraid of rock bottom. Everybody say, been there, done that, got the T-shirt. That's what God wants to do for you. And that's what God wants to do for me. Now, if you're not coming back tonight, you're on your way to hell and it's not going to get better. No, I'm joking. In short, we're going to talk about how to raise the dead a little bit more tonight. We got stuck on this a little bit too long this morning. Amen. One of the ways, how you raise the dead, Jesus raised the dead. Just hold on and keep the light on the inside of you. Amen. God will come in the morning and you'll be all right. Amen. We'll get deeper in it so you can shout tonight. Amen. But you just hold on. You can get and take it face value. Stand up right where you are. If anything could be said this morning, say, God is coming to awake you out of your sleep. This nightmare, foul dream, you're going to end. Arise and shine, for your light has come. And very shortly, God's going to call out your name. Amen. And you're going to walk out of that situation. Amen. I sense it already by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God's doing it. He's doing it. And you need to be glad about it. You need to be glad about it. I know I'm going to come through. Y'all don't know. I've been through some stuff the last several years. I've been through some stuff. And I'm like, I feel like I can relate to Jesus a little bit. I tell you what, I'm so glad about it. Amen. You don't understand. Boy, am I glad about it. Boy, thank God for it. Amen. Thank God. In all things give thanks, for it's the will of God. Raise your hand and just pray in the Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you for everybody that came into this room today. God, thank you. Lord, I pray that somehow this word went deep on the inside of their heart, Father God, that it gave them encouragement, Father God, that it gave them strength, Father God. Lord, that they prophetically heard something, Father God, and they're going to reach out and respond to your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Did I forget to do anything? We had already today. Y'all can give God glory. But you know, when you do the will of God, good things get happen. Good things happen. Today in the souls were already saved today. Somebody say, thank the Lord. Amen. I got a report before we even, you know, I got a report, amen. People are giving their heart to Jesus Christ already. Amen. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Give God, we have a prophetic word. We have to, just before we leave, you're early. Amen. Just before we leave, somebody got saved today.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Some of you, before you even got up, hallelujah. If you will give me praise, some of you need to, we need to post that prophetic word on the website so you can respond right. When someone turns their heart to Jesus, hallelujah, that's a miracle. We need to say, thank God for it. Hallelujah. Give him a shout of praise. Say, thank you, Father. Because he wants to do it 10 times and again and again and again and again. But he won't do it again if we don't say thank you. Hallelujah. Thank God. So far, it's 100%, amen, effective. So say, that's a success. Don't mess it up. Hallelujah. Y'all have a good cup of coffee. I know some people don't drink coffee. Amen. Amen. We got to find something. And Tizo, I think he's got some breakfast. Tizo is providing breakfast, or he provided breakfast. He said, don't get it wrong. Take the D off the end of it. Amen. He said, I did it these last 2 weeks. I'm not committing. But you know, we had people that show up early, but everybody that showed up early, you know, he provided breakfast for the last 2 weeks for anybody that came to church early. Amen. And it was good. Amen. And now he's paying for lunch. Sandra's prophesied he's paying for lunch. Let the people feel welcome. Don't just run out the door. Amen. Y'all aren't yet. I mean, I'm a little bit over. But just stay and have a cup of coffee. Let somebody know that you love them and give them a good word. Amen. Is that good? Put on some good music. Amen. So find somebody you don't know and make sure they say your name 7 times. That's a good exercise. Find somebody that you don't know and say that. Look them in the face and say their name 7 times. Jesse, you want to get the music on real quick?